from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are pretty glad you're tuning in with us.
You're pretty glad?
Pretty glad, yeah. Pretty glad.
You're awful hard to please. Hold on a minute. Hino's pretty glad pretty you're
glad,
listening.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful and ecstatic that you're here. I can't wait to hear his intro. Yeah, we're pretty happy that this guest is here tonight. And okay, anyways, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation.
We'd love it.
Just log into facebook.com/The Music Row Show and chat alongside with us.
And you know what else is awesome? You can also go to Twitter @The Music Row Show. And then after the show, you can check out some photos at Instagram, also @The Music Row Show. And just in case you haven't heard, just in case, all you Dish subscribers out there, you can now watch us on TV because Blue Highways TV is now on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us 4 times a week on Channel 73 all over the country. And, you know, we've been on TV for about 3 years, but never in Nashville. So now that we're on Dish, Nashville people can be watching us as well.
Yay them.
Now, something else. Now, of course, we're here doing our Frank Brown International Songwriters preview show.
Very true.
We just had Bobby Keel. And Bobby, you can see him the first week of the festival with Ed Beaver and Tom Bresch.
The three Bs.
The three Bs. And then we have someone very special here with us this hour. But before we introduce him, what's the website for the Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival?
FrankBrownSongwriters.com. We'll
very
take you
good.
Right there.
Very, very good. Well, tell us about who this rock legend is hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Now, joining us right now is legendary hit songwriter and recording artist Bruce Chanel. Bruce's career ignited. It really did. It ignited with a song he wrote and recorded called Hey Baby, with a little assist from the great Delbert McClinton on harmonica there. It became a million-selling number one song. And as a songwriter, Bruce went on to write hits for lots of other artists like T.G. Shepherd's Party Time, John Conley's As Long As I'm Rockin' With You, Mel McDaniel's Smash Stand Up, and songs for the Oak Ridge Boys and Jerry Lee Lewis, Tom Jones, Alabama. And if that weren't enough, Bruce is also a member of the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. So we're very excited to say, Bruce Chanel, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Excited to have you here. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start in Texas. Talk about the little gentleman and the rock and roll culture that was brewing in Texas when you were growing up.
Well, there really wasn't a rock and roll culture at that time. When I was a teenager going to school in Grapevine, my classmates and I would have a little band, and we'd play the dances or whatever parties we had. Just, we all enjoyed playing, so that's what we would do. But then when the Black Boy Jungle movie came out, and we went to see that and heard Rock Around the Clock, we couldn't believe the sounds that were coming out, you know, and pretty soon it did just take off. And it was rhythm and blues and rock and roll and really kind of an amalgam of country mixed in it a little bit.
Sure,
too,
sure.
You know, because we had Buddy Holly, and these were all country boys, you know, from Texas that were doing this rock and roll music.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just a great place to grow up. Grapevine was only about 1,400 people when I lived there and went to school there. So, and we had a lake, and we had, you know, it's just a great place to grow up and have fun. And so when those great records came on to our drive-in, Dude's Drive-In in Grapevine, the only one. He had a great jukebox, though, and a great sound, and those records just sounded wonderful in the open air.
Yeah, so then you were listening to Elvis and Buddy Holly. And
oh, yeah, I'd heard Elvis do That's All Right and Mystery Train, but I hadn't seen him. And I was looking in a songbook one day, and in the margin they used to do little stories on different artists, and they had a picture of him there, and they called him the Hillbilly Cat. So I was looking and I said, well, I'll be that. That's what he looks like then. I never had seen him before, you know, but I love the records.
That's awesome. Well, so many Texans are great songwriters. We've got seems like a million of them here in town from Texas. Why is that? Why does Texas produce all these amazing songwriters?
I don't know, other than the fact that it's not that we want to get out of Texas so bad, but you're limited in the ways that you can. And one good way was through music, and another was through sports. So you either played music or football to kind of move on, you know.
I see. Yeah.
I wasn't big enough to play football. So I stuck with the music, and but I've just always enjoyed it my whole life. My cousins came to live with us and played guitar, played violin and different instruments, and they taught my brothers and I how to play. I was only about five at the time, but they'd let me hold the guitar and show me a G chord and kind of get used to it, you know.
Sure.
So once I got G, C, and D down, then I was on my way.
Really, what else do you need, right?
No, really, is there anything else other than G, C, and D?
Well, once you learn that A minor and throw it in there.
Then it all changes. Then it all changes.
Young Love, I had to learn that A minor. You
that's
know?
Right.
All falls into place right there.
Well, some parents try to steer their kids away from the life of a musician. but from what I've heard and read, it sounds like your parents were extremely supportive of the little gentleman and of you as a musician.
Yeah, well, we chose that name, the little gentleman, hoping it would get us gigs, you know. The moms and dads wouldn't think that we were a rough rock and roll crew with a name like that, which we weren't. We just played the cover songs of the day, whatever was hot. That's what we would learn and play, you know. But it was just a lot of fun growing up and doing that.
But your parents, I know that they were encouraging you to look at things like the Louisiana Hayride and other things.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounds like you really didn't want to do it because you were kind of embarrassed about your guitar.
Well, I did want to play the Louisiana Hayride. I had played the Big D Jamboree, which was a big show in Dallas.
Okay.
And I'd gotten to be on there. And my dad had asked me about going and doing the Louisiana Hayride. And I said, well, yeah, but I said, I'm going to have to wait till I get a better guitar. The one I have is the one I learned to play on.
Okay.
And it had blood on it, and it was an old classic Stella guitar, big yellow guitar.
Okay. Yeah.
But there wasn't much yellow left on it by the time all of us boys got through playing it over the years, you know. So he came home that next week with a new Gibson J200.
Wow.
And gave it to me in a leather case. And he said, let's go to the hayride. Okay.
Man.
Wow.
And
so he drove
those aren't
down.
Cheap, even back then.
Well, yeah, $365, and that was a lot of money. He was making about $45 a week at making trailer houses, you know, working in a factory building trailer houses.
That's a big deal.
So, yeah, it was a pretty good commitment on his part. But we piled in the old Ford, and my mom and dad and I went to Shreveport and met Tillman Franks at the radio station, KWKH. And he listened to me sing and said, yeah, can you be on the show tonight? And I said, yeah, I've got a jacket in the car, yeah. So that's kind of how it started. And my family name is McMeans. So I was born Bruce McMeans. But at the hayride, Tillman Frank said, McMeans is a wonderful family name, but it doesn't have any marquee value.
Okay.
You need to come up with something else. So I was kind of determined to keep it in the family, you know. And my dad said, look, it doesn't matter. We know who you are.
Right.
You know, whatever you need to do. So my mother's maiden name was Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll go with that. So when I went back to see Tillman the next week, I said, how about Channel? And he said, great, only we pronounce it Chanel. So that's how you wind up with these names, you know. So Bruce Chanel is what I've worked under all these years, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. Now, did you ever have a plan B, or was music always the career you were going to do, or did you ever, you know, back it up with something else, like a degree in accounting or something?
I'll tell you what, growing up, I tried everything else.
Did you?
It just wasn't there for me, you know. I worked in a steel fabrication place that made butane tanks one summer. And I nearly lost my fingers in one machine. Nearly got them caught in another. So finally, they gave me to the truck mechanic and said, he'll be your helper. And he said, well, crawl under the front of that truck and he's on this creeper. And I did. And he said, you see the axle up there? And I said, yeah. And he said, hang your arms over it. And I did. He said, I'll wake you up if anybody comes. So I found a buddy that No, but it was a great time. But I met Buddy Combs worked there.
All right.
And he's a sister to he's the brother of Margaret Cobb, the lady that I wrote Hey Baby with.
Okay.
He said, "Won't you come over and meet my sister? She's a songwriter." So I did, and we wrote several songs together, but Hey Baby, by far and away, was the biggest copyright that either one of us ever had anything to do with. Mm-hmm. Margaret's deceased now for many years, but her two sons still share it with me and the royalties on it.
That's great.
Wonderful.
I love that story because it's not unusual for no-hit songwriters like Hino and I to call each other and bemoan our day jobs and complain about our day jobs and all this stupid that are keeping us from our, you know, glory that is sure to be ours. But
if only.
But that song, Hey Baby, your biggest copyright, would have never happened had you not been working in that steel fabrication plant.
There you go. You never know how it comes together. You never know how a song winds up being recorded by someone. You have an idea in your mind's eye about who you'd like to hear sing it, but it doesn't always come out that way.
Right.
And then sometimes it's not the record you thought it was going to be, you know, even with the artist you wanted to do it. So they're just, I don't know, they're random acts that take place in the cosmos that make these things come home to us that we, it's pretty simple with people. They either like it or they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, talk about you as a songwriter before you met Margaret. What kind of, how advanced were you in the craft?
Not really. I mean, I was beating around and trying to write a song, you know, because I had, since I was a kid, I'd buy songbooks, you know, and I'd see Doc Pomus and I'd see Cowboy Clement and I'd see all these different names in there, you know, writing these great songs. And all I knew is I wanted to get one on a page that looked like theirs, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so that was the real focus for me right then, never having any idea about how you go about doing that. So just through trial and error and trying to find something good to write about, something to make you feel good, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm wondering about these songbooks. Was it full music or were they just chord charts and
no,
the lyrics?
No, right. There was no music in them. It was just the lyrics to the songs
printed the
lyrics on the page.
Okay.
Country. Well, here I go. I can't even think. This has been so long ago now. But Acuff Rose used to put out one.
Mm-hmm.
And did they have the chords or anything or nothing?
Well, sometimes, yeah, they would print the chords and tell you what key that they had done them in.
Right.
Like they did it in the key of G, and your changes would be G, C, and D, and sometime another.
And if you knew the song, you could get by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then once you hear the song, you know, then you could play it and pick up the words. That's the way I learned a lot of songs that we would do. And then later on, as a teenager, we'd get them off the radio and the jukebox, wherever we could get them, you know, and learn them and do them at the dances.
So when you say you wanted them to look like those, you were really, for the most part, just looking at the lyrics and the pattern of the lyrics on the page and everything.
Yeah, I'd listen to a song, and then I'd see the way it was written and how they would sing the first verse, or sometimes they'd start with the chorus.
With the chorus, right, yeah.
Right.
So there's no really hard and fast rule about how to do it. It's just, you know, how it works best for you.
Right.
And how it rolls out.
Beautiful.
Sweet. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we want to remind folks that this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I are both Toyota drivers.
We are, and big exciting news because, you know, you've heard us talking about how great their service department is, how good their sales department is, and just all the different things they do to make their customers feel special. Well, now in Franklin, they've also picked up the Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler
and Ram
and Ram dealership. Is Ram a whole different thing? Isn't that just a Dodge?
It's on the sign. So,
is it really? Yeah. Ram and Ram.
I know.
I tell you,
they needed that many words.
They had a word quota on the sign.
They had space on the sign. But the fact is that that same great customer experience that you experienced over at Toyota of Cool Springs, now you're going to be able to get over there as well. So that's pretty awesome. And George is the owner over there. Look for him when you go over. He'll treat you right. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're here with Bruce Chanel right now doing our annual Frank Brown Songwriters Festival preview show.
Nice
yeah,
job.
I got through
you
that one,
it.
All right? You're listening to The Music Row Show. We'll be back in just a minute. welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Bruce Chanel, and that's him singing right there, a song he wrote called Hey Baby. That's awesome. Now, I heard that that song kind of is noted for being one of the first pop rock songs to have that really long, sustained note that then became popular with other songs after that. Is that true? How did you come up with that groundbreaking thing?
Bobby Keel, a good friend of mine, was on earlier, and he was saying that you never know where the influences are coming from.
Right.
And Bob Dylan said, if you have eyes and ears, you're influenced.
True. Right.
There's no way around that. So, but when we went to do the session on Hey Baby, I had taken some songs to a guy named Major Bill Smith in Fort Worth. And he said, yeah, I like these songs. We'll cut them next week. So I showed up the studio, Clifford Herring Studio in Fort Worth in Texas, the next week. And that's the day I met Delbert and his group. They're called the Straitjackets.
Okay.
And I showed them the songs that we were going to do. And nobody said, Delbert, you play this and you play that. I just showed them the song and we played it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, okay, that sounds pretty good. Let's do it one more time. And the engineer on the session was named Bob Sullivan. Bob came from KWKH in Shreveport, Louisiana. That's where I had first met him years before. And he had done sessions on Slim Whitman, George Jones, right down the line, country artist, you know. So it was good that we had a good engineer that caught us pretty quickly, because we're pretty simple, just a little group and me singing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we'd kick it off, and Deborah would kick off with the harmonica. And we did it once, and they said, it sounds good, let's do it one more time. So we kicked it off, did it again. Marvin Montgomery says, it needs a piano. And he came into the studio with us. We cut it one more time with the piano and got through, and Sullivan said, come listen to that. And we did. We came in the studio and listened, and he said, sounds good to me. And he called a friend of his, Bob Wolf, that he did business with, and he played it for him on the phone. He said, hey, you like that? He said, I like it really good. And he said, you like it $500 worth? He said, I don't know if I like it that well, but I do like it a lot. And Bill Smith, everything was a cotton picker. Well, it's a cotton picking smash, you cotton picker, and I'll show you. And so he went to work on the record, and sure enough, he got it on local charts in about a 5-state area, kept working it and working it, and we'd go out and meet DJs, and they'd let us come in, you know, and visit and like that. So pretty soon, when it was on the local charts, moved up the top 30 on the local charts and made it up in the top 10, Mercury Records got interested and wanted to lease it from Bill and take it nationally and internationally, which they did. They did a great job.
So how aware are you of all this going on at the time? Is Bill keeping you in the loop?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're just working at it, you know. I'm trying to write, he's trying to record them and get them out there and get them played.
Yeah.
You know? But to have one come together like that, you really don't think it's ever going to happen.
Right.
I mean, you've done it a lot of times. I had cut records before Hey Baby. Since I was about 17, I've been cutting records, writing mm-hmm. songs. But never had anything to jump out to the public like that before.
So what do you remember about that whirlwind when all of a sudden it's number one in the country and you go from being a kid in Grapevine to all of a sudden the number one artist in the country? What do you remember about those months?
Well, I was 20 the month that it came out in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned 21 that November the 28th in 61. And in March of 62, it was number one. And I couldn't believe it, naturally. You know, you have a number one record. You've been striving your whole 5 years.
A whole five years.
You've been striving your whole life since you were a kid in a band and whatever to get to that point. And then it's a little bit incomprehensible, you know, because mm-hmm. it just goes so far away from you. I did know at the time, though, I thought, this doesn't last forever. You need to have another record.
Right.
Know. Well, I was going to ask you that. Because that song was such a smash, what kind of pressure did you get from the powers that be to recreate that formula in another song and try to copy it?
Bill Smith and I both got tremendous pressure from the labels.
Really?
I was on tour. I mean, I was doing shows and traveling with Fast Domino and Brooke Benton and The Impressions and all this kind of thing. And then that summer of 62, we went to England and did a month over there. And then it was big pressure to get an album finished and get it out. So during that time, I was having to go back to Texas and finish up an album.
Were you writing with Margaret?
We were using some songs that we had, but I didn't have time to write.
Yeah.
At that time, we were having to go with something. So the label decided they needed something that sounded like Hey Baby, like most record labels. They won't whatever
They wanted it again.
Whatever worked for them. So they picked Number One Man, which was an okay record, but it wasn't a Hey Baby.
Right.
Oh, excuse me there. And so you just keep on rocking from there and writing and playing, and traveling, doing what you can. Move to Nashville.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Well, you got that great guitar on you. You feel like playing something for us?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
I'll do you a song that... can y'all hear it out there?
Oh, yeah.
They sure can.
I wrote this with a dear friend of mine, Kieran Kane. Mm. And John Conley had a number one record.
Oh, for us.
Wherever I'm going, wherever I'm staying, it doesn't matter, long as I'm staying with you. Staying with you. Wherever I'm working, whatever it's paying, it doesn't matter, long as it's working with you. Working with you. I may never have much silver and gold. I've got something more precious and warmer to hold. And that old rocking chair don't scare me like it used to. It doesn't matter, long as I'm rocking with you. I'm always happy, whatever I'm doing. It doesn't matter, long as I do it with you. Do it with you. These things I believe in, some people call dreaming. It doesn't matter, long as I'm dreaming with you. Dreaming with you. I may never have much silver and gold. I've got something more precious and warmer to hold. And that old rocking chair don't scare me like it used to. It doesn't matter, long as I'm rocking with you. No, it doesn't matter, long as I'm rocking with y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice.
That's a great song. I just heard that the other day here on WSM as I was driving around my little hometown. And I was going, man, that's a great song.
That's an awesome song.
No, I appreciate that. Kieran Kane and I wrote that together. Kieran had a big record with You're the Best
that
we also wrote and he recorded. And he's an artist. Bobby was talking about how much he loved art a while ago, Bobby Keel. Kieran is a tremendous artist.
No kidding.
All his people in his pictures have extremely large hands and long fingers. For some reason, it's just
they must all play piano.
Paint, yeah,
really that's striking. You know?
Interesting. So, what was the transition like for you then, being a full-time recording artist, then becoming a full-time songwriter and kind of leaving the road behind. How was that transition for you?
Well, it's really strange. When we came to Nashville, I say we, Christine, my wife Christine and I, came to Nashville in 1978. Okay. I came the first time in 1963 and did some sessions.
Right.
And then in 78, we made the move and came here. I'd been talking with a friend of mine named Hal Bynum. He had come to Fort Worth to do the Bill Mack All-Night Roadshow there at WBAP and called me and said, come over and visit with me and Bill. So I did, and he had a song called You Picked a Fine Time to Leave Me, Lucille.
Yeah, that
was
a
familiar.
Big hit for Hal. And he said, man, you ought to come to Nashville. You'd do good there. I think you'd like it. So my folks had moved from next door. We had built a house next door to them when we got married and moved in. And they decided to go back to their stomping grounds in East Texas, where they came from.
Okay.
So after talking with Hal, I said, Christine, what do you think about going to Nashville? And she said, let's go.
Beautiful.
So I went out and put a sign in the yard, house for sale, and a couple drove in from around the corner and said, we want to buy your house.
Just like that.
That works out just right.
Hold on. I just want to do a little synopsis here. So you decided you're going to record this song. You just happen to meet Delbert McClinton in the studio, and you do Hey Baby. It becomes a big hit. You decide to sell your house. You put a sign on the door, and then someone just drives around and buys it.
Exactly.
The same day?
Yeah.
Man.
I just accept it.
As well you should.
Oh.
Accept with gratitude.
Absolutely.
I want to back up a little bit before Nashville, because while you were on the wave of Hey Baby, you went to England.
Yes.
And you bumped the Beatles off a BBC TV show.
Well, this was 1962. The Beatles didn't have any records out.
Pete Best was still their drummer then, right?
Yeah, Pete was playing drums. And they hadn't written the songs that they would write later.
Right.
They were doing cover songs. Matter of fact, John said they did Hey Baby in their show.
No kidding.
They would do it. And he had it on his little jukebox. Later on, he had his favorite records on his own private little jukebox.
Uh-huh.
And Hey Baby was on there. And he said in an interview, he said they were doing Hey Baby by Bruce Chanel and that kind of thing. But then they started writing their own material. And it really worked out much better for them.
Yeah.
How cool is that? So here's John Lennon, you know, saying he's a big fan of yours and had a chance to meet you. Meanwhile, you as you were saying, once you hit with this song, you started going on tour with Fats Domino, and you'd been doing Fats Domino songs with your bands, right?
Oh, yeah. Since I was a kid in school at the dances, I learned all the Fats records, you know, to play them. And it was just, you know, tremendous. Every night, standing in the wings of the stage, not any further than from here to there, and watch Fats play every night on his piano, you know.
Were you just pinching yourself back then, I can't believe that this is my life?
No, I couldn't believe it. Of course not. I was just happy to be there.
Fats Domino.
You just accepted it.
Well, when we got to New York to do rehearsals before the tour, a fella came up to me and he says, are you Bruce? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you're not a black fellow.
No?
And I said, no, sir. And he said, well, it's okay. So we just went on and did our rehearsals, but come to find out, Harold Cromer, the MC of the show that we traveled, they would introduce me in 1962 as the only colored boy on the show. And he would make jokes about me having to ride in the other end of the bus and all that. It was great fun. And we never paid any attention to any of that. I was not oblivious, but I wasn't as in tune to all the stuff that was going on in the country at the time, because I was strictly into music, and that was my only endeavor.
Right.
Was music, and I loved all these people. They were great musicians and singers and writers, you know, and just wonderful to be around.
Yeah.
So that was a time that really was striking to me, because on the one hand, everybody's having such a great time, and on the other hand, the country's having such a difficult time with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Music is the universal language. It does. It heals everything.
Yeah.
Those people way over yonder now, they need some rock and roll, man, bad.
They do.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, but we'll give it a shot. You never know. Hey, listen, we're doing our annual Frank Brown Songwriters Festival preview show, and we're here with Bruce Chanel, great hit songwriter, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes with a whole lot more here on the Music Row Show.
In the middle of a good night, have you got a ride in the backseat of your car? I said, stand up, have you ever been there? Stand up, identify, stand up.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Bruce Chanel, and that's a great song of his, Stand Up. He's part of our Frank Brown Songwriters Festival preview show, and I was just doing a little.
Heino was busting up, a move for busting our a people move for out, the, outside.
Yeah, and they were.
I'm sorry about that, you all.
I really apologize.
I'm sorry you had to see that. now Bruce is part of the Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival, and he's been a performer there for almost as long as the festival's been around. You've been there for quite a few years.
Yeah, I think it had been going on probably about a year or two.
Okay.
So that would bank it about 30 years.
There, and it was many years ago.
Back when it was just at the Floribama, right?
It was just the Floribama Club involved at the time, and then as years went by, they've got other people involved, and now I think they have venues all over that area.
Oh, yeah, in several different cities.
So it's really wonderful.
Well, what are you going to sing for us?
I'll do whatever you want me to do.
I love that song.
What I'll do you, sorry?
I love that song, Whatever You Want Me to Do.
All right. Women love to hear that. There's the first song that kind of took off for us in Nashville. And thank you, T.G. Shepherd. It's party time. Time to get you off my mind. Forget the life I left behind. And all those dreams that won't come true. It's party time. Let's have a laugh and pass the wine. It's early and we're feeling fine. I'll soon be over you. Darling, ever since the day said it's time to go our separate ways. I've been searching for a way to pay for doing you so wrong. But now it's time to call a halt. You know it wasn't all my fault. You cheated too, but you were never caught. We both lied all along. And whoa, whoa, it's party time. Time to get you off my mind. Forget the life I left behind. And find somebody new. It shouldn't take us very long. Another sip or two and you'll be gone. Another chorus of you done me wrong. And maybe I'll be over you.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first one that kind of took off in Nashville as a writer.
All right.
Christine and I. And thank you, TG, for making that a number one record.
Now, how did it get to TG? Was it?
I had been in town since 78, and I got a job with Red Lane, helping him tear his DC-8 airplane apart at the Smyrna Airport.
Okay.
And the engines were off of it, but we had to take it apart, take the wings off, take the tail section loose, and load it on a lowboy and float it to Ashland City,
just
where he lived in it for 30 years up until the time he passed away.
No kidding.
So it makes a great house. You don't have to paint it. You don't, you know, made a great home.
And it was just the two of you doing that?
No, he had a crew.
Okay.
Of songwriters and would-be songwriters from around Tree.
Sure.
That, you know, that need to make a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
We'd go out and help him work on his plane, and he'd pay you some to help him and buy lunch and that kind of stuff.
But I know whenever I have a bunch of high-tech work that needs to be done, like building an airplane, I call a bunch of songwriters.
Not building an airplane, tearing apart an airplane.
Oh, well, that's different.
That's different.
That definitely, we can call a bunch of songwriters.
We can tear things apart like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have to put it back together.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's good. So, okay, so how did this get to TG?
Don Gant was running Tree Publishing at the time for Buddy Killen. Buddy owned Tree, along with Jack Stapp. And Don was running the company for him. And they would come out on a Friday and bring a keg of beer and check and see how the progress is going and that kind of stuff. And we just kind of have a get-together, you know. And I was sitting on Red's old head. An old Chevy or Ford, I can't remember now, real old, like a 32 or something like that, and muscle car.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting on the little running board there, and Don Gant came over and sat down. He said, "Well, how's it going, Brucey?" And I said, "Well, it's going okay, but I need to get a song cut. I've been here nearly 2 years. Something's got to come loose." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, write me a hit, and I'll go get it cut."
Nah.
So I said, "Okay, we'll see how this works." So I went home and went to work, and Christine's sister had been to visit us with her husband, and she said, "What did you ever do with that party song that you were working on?" I said, "Well, I've had it for a couple of years, but I still don't have it finished." She said, "I really like that. You ought to think about that one." So I started thinking about that song. I said, "Well, I need to sit down and really get busy." So within a couple of days, I had been working on it again and finally got it finished, took it to Tree and showed it to Don. We went downstairs and did a demo of it. He took it upstairs to Buddy Killen and he cut it the next week on TG. So
let's just talk about your sister-in-law being awesome.
Yeah.
How about exactly. That?
Well, as a matter of fact, I got two Golden Tree Awards, which was an award they'd give you for number one songs you'd have with Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they had given me two, and I gave one to her.
There you go.
So she has one in her home, too.
That's wonderful.
All right.
Well, let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Music Row Show. This is the Frank Brown International Songwriters Preview Show. Bruce Chanel is here, the great Bruce Chanel, who is also going to be at the festival. You want to go there. Check out FrankBrownSongwriters.com.
That's it.
And stick around. We'll be right back on The Music Row Show.
It's party time. Time to get you off my mind.
Forget all right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is Bruce Chanel, who's our guest here this hour, doing Party Time, which is a big hit for T.G. Shepherd. And Bruce is actually going to be down at the Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival.
Which is what we're talking about.
We're talking about all evening tonight. And the festival goes from the 5th to the 15th down in beautiful Pensacola, Florida, and Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, Alabama. And you can find out all about it at FrankBrownSongwriters.com. A lot of songwriters, over 200 of them going to be playing this
now, year. Now, and of course, we've been talking about all the great songs that Bruce had when he came to Nashville. But, you know, his first big hit was, of course, Hey Baby.
Hey Baby.
Big hit. And then years go by, and then the Dirty Dancing movie comes out, and that soundtrack sells like, 12 million copies around the world.
But it's still selling.
Yeah, it's still selling.
Awesome.
I mean, my gosh, what were you thinking? First, so you're here, okay, I'm on a soundtrack. Meh. You know, right? Because
I almost didn't make the soundtrack. A fellow named Jimmy Einert was putting together the soundtrack for the movie. And he knew Bill Smith, and he knew the lady that was doing the play.
Mm-hmm.
And he called Bill Smith and said, she really does like Hey Baby and wants to use it. However, Motown has just signed Bruce Willis. Bruno?
Yeah, Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno,
that's
right.
To record it and include that in the movie.
Oh, no.
And Bill Smith said, well, everything else is original. Why would that not be original, too? And Jimmy Eidert said, I agree with you, but we have to prove it to somebody else. So he went back to the lady and told her, said, yeah, it'd be much more effective if you used the original recording.
And they did.
So we got to stay in the soundtrack that way.
Sweet. And then it became a huge hit.
Huge hit. Oh, okay. We're doing top secret stuff over here. So I'm just curious, during that whole time, what was the biggest I can't believe this moment of that whole whirlwind of a career with Hey Baby?
Well, you know, when the movie Dirty Dancing came out, it was shown here in Nashville, and Christine, my wife, and I went to see it to see what it was about. We had no idea.
Did you? But you knew your song was in it.
Yeah, we knew okay. The song was in it, and that's really what we wanted to hear.
Let's not kid around here.
Yeah, that's exactly. So we saw the movie, and when we came out of the movie over in Lion's Head, where we saw it, she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know, you know it. I mean, it's a nice little movie, but what do you think?" But the soundtrack is what really sold it to people.
Oh, sure.
And started drawing them in to listen to it. But it's gained a whole new audience and new generations of audiences.
Now that they've got the stage version to play?
Am I wrong? Was that in 78 or 80s? I've forgotten time.
Something
now.
It was like in the 80s, the movie.
So. Yeah. So a couple of generations now have gone by, and kids that still just love that movie and love it. And a lot of people plan their marriages around doing that gift and that kind of thing. It's just incredible. And God bless all of you. Appreciate it so much. That buys us bacon and beans, and we appreciate it.
Well, you feel like playing it for us?
Sure.
I think we've got a world premiere first here. We've got Delbert McSouthworth over here is going to be joining
in. I am so excited. I know I'm going to mess this up, but I'm doing it anyway.
Do it. All right.
Okay. We're going to do it in the people's key of A.
Perfect.
Sweet.
Saw you walking down the street. Said that's the kind of girl I'd like to meet. Yeah, she's so pretty and woo, she's fine. Got to make her mine, all mine now. Hey, hey, baby, baby, I wanna know if you'll be mine. You turned and walked away. That's when I wanna say, come on, baby, give me your pearl. I wanna know if you be my girl now. Turned and walked away. That's when I wanna say now, come on, baby, give me your pearl. I wanna know, will you be my girl now? Hey, hey, baby, I wanna know, will you be my girl? Beat finish. Hey, 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 baby.
Bucket list made. Right
there. Very nice.
We got Bruce some singers out there.
Bruce Chanel doing Hey Baby along with an assist by Colonel Scott Southworth over here.
Wow. Thank you so much. So we got a few more minutes. Frank Brown, why is it special? How long are you there this year? You do the first weekend?
I usually do the first weekend, and they have so many guests coming in, over, I think, 200 songwriters and different people coming. So if you're in Gulf Shores during that time, we'd love to see you, and I know they would, and you'll have a great time on the beach with everybody and the songwriters. And
it's a perfect time of year to be there, too. Perfect time of year. Not too hot, not too cold.
Exactly. Just well, sometimes, right. You know, this time of year can be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And at night, when you walk out in the moonlight on the beach, it can remind you of snow.
It squeaks like snow. It squeaks. It's white as snow, and it squeaks like it.
The weather is not inclement, and it's always useful.
No, it's wonderful. So if people want to find out more about when you're playing, they can go to frankbrownsongwriters.com, and they can find out what venue you're playing at, what night.
Yes. Well, we usually play like three or four different places. And the Floribama.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
And then I think the Cork is the name of another place. All it's right. A restaurant that we went and played. So these people would be spread out all over that area between Gulf Shores to Pensacola, all the different area restaurants and clubs, and you'll enjoy every one of them.
And again, November 5th through the 15th, you're going to be there most of the time. You're playing with Sonny Throckmorton.
Be with Sonny,
the great Sonny.
That's a great show right there.
And who else?
Rock Kilo and Craig Dillingham. And we do kind of a quartet thing together where we do a couple of gospel numbers that we sing together.
Nice.
And then everybody just does a couple of songs and pass it down, a couple of songs, pass it down. And usually do like an hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah. What a great show. Great.
We look forward to seeing everybody. And thank you so much, folks, for all you've done for us. We appreciate it so much.
Well, this has been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on to the Music Row Show. And
now you've got a website. Where can people find you online?
At BruceChanel.com.
Very easy. BruceChanel.com. And they can buy this?
And there's a guest book. They can get in touch. Yeah. A CD Baby handles a lot of the CDs that we do.
Well, he's got a great album called Hey, Hey, Baby, Let's Party.
Now, there it is. That is all of his big hit songs.
But him doing them, yeah.
Not only his, but also all the ones that he wrote for other people, right. But it's a CD with him singing them.
Right.
So, fantastic.
BruceChanel.com. Well, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival. We'll be down there, too, so let's have lunch or something.
With you. Yeah.
I appreciate you so much, fellas. It's great to be here, and thank you so much.
Well, sounds awesome. Well, we'll see you next week on the Music Row Show. Until we meet again, hey, everybody, go write something. Strong!